Speak to you this morning on a subject that the Bible has a lot to say about, and I think you could, the more I looked into it, I realized you could preach quite a few messages on it, so I'm just going to skim the surface, and in the interest of honesty, this is not my outline, it's someone else's, but I took it and expanded upon it and put my thoughts into it. just want to mention that, but I liked it. Personally, I don't see a problem with that, you know, if we see. I know men have different ideas on that, especially here lately, but as long as we're honest about it and not, you know, word for word copying someone. But I want to speak to you on forgiveness, biblical perspective on forgiveness. For our text, I've got a lot of scripture, but our main text is in Luke chapter 17, if you want to turn there. Like I say, there's a whole lot that the Bible has to say about it. I'm only going to be able to skim the surface. But if you want to, I used to say this. I know Brother Greg and I used to talk about it, used to do it. If you have like I've got the Bible on my phone sometimes, I think it's interesting. If you think of a word like forgiveness or forgive, you could do a search. Just type that in your Bible app and look at all the scriptures that come up with that word in it. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting way to do a different study sometimes. Just sit there and read all the scriptures that talk about that. But in Luke chapter 17, and starting in verse 3 through 10, Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do." That's the attitude a Christian should have in their whole life, I think. We're unprofitable servants, we've only done that which was our duty to do.
Right.
In this scripture here, Jesus instructs his disciples. He gives them some practical suggestions on handling anger that we get from others many times. They can turn into bitterness if we're not careful. We've got to be aware of that. We need to be careful that we don't get into bitterness. And the Lord talks about, if you want to say, aggressive and courageous forgiveness as Christians. You know, think about that. We as Christians, our forgiveness should be courageous. When others are unwilling to forgive, we should be willing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And aggressive. We're commanded to forgive. Our Lord has commanded us to forgive.
Yes.
Now, I know it's not easy. I'm human just like you. And Jesus is our example. We can't live up to that. We know that's why he came and died, because we can't do it. And I know forgiveness can be hard. You know, somebody does some little thing sometimes. Oh, I forgive you. It's no big deal. You know, we let it go. But some things are harder to forgive than others. You know, if someone has wronged us in a certain way, and it may be different for me than for you. Someone may do something to me, and I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. But to you, it may be a big deal, a bigger deal than it was to me. But like I said, we've got to be careful about bitterness, about planting that seed of bitterness in our hearts. Forgiveness is not easy, but as I said, it's a command. in verse 3, we're told to confront that offender, that one that has offended us. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." So it is okay to confront someone who has trespassed against you in love. We should do that in love. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is, if you're like me, you don't always do it in love, do you? Right. We do it in anger and that hurtfulness. We lash out. We've been hurt, so we lash out. But as Christians, we're to do that in love. The Bible encourages loving, truthful confrontation with our brothers and sisters. It really does. And if someone approaches you and you're the offender, you as a Christian need to be careful that you don't lash out and you listen to what that brother or sister has to say and try to understand where they're coming from in this. This passage here gives the offended party, the one who was offended, the responsibility to go to that person and communicate with them. Now, there are other New Testament passages that require the one who created an offense to seek reconciliation. For example, in Matthew, that's how I view this. In Matthew chapter 5, I was trying to find this scripture. I texted Brother David last night, and he helped me out with it. I couldn't quite think of how it went to find it. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So the Lord's here saying, if you're the offender, you remember someone has something against you, before you make that offering, you need to go and make it right with them, then come back and present your offering.
Yes.
So, between the two of these, if we combine both of these, the one where the person who was offended seeks reconciliation and the offender seeks reconciliation, that means that two mature Christians who realize there's an issue in their relationship should be able to come together and resolve their differences. Right? Yeah. They should be. If we're mature Christians and we act like that, we should be able to come. Now, we still may not see eye to eye on the issue. Okay, depending upon what it is.
Sure.
But we should be able to reconcile with our brothers and sisters in Christ and reach some sort of agreement on that. Maybe we offended someone and we don't realize we did it. You know? I know I've said things to people in frustration and anger. I was aggravated at work one day with a customer and I snapped at one of my coworkers. I didn't mean to, but I did. And I thought about it a few minutes later, and I went to him and apologized. I said, "Look, I'm sorry. I was stressed, stressful situation. I didn't mean to snap at you." And he said, "Oh, it's all right." But I still think it made him feel better that I did that. It made me feel better. I said, "Look, you know, and he's a Christian as well." I said, "I didn't mean to take that out on you, and, you know, I apologize." That's how we should be able to do. Now, that was, you know, a small infraction. And like I said, sometimes things are much larger things that we have to forgive. But again, we're commanded to forgive. Now, I'm still working on that. God's still working on me, you know. I can't 100% say that I've forgiven everybody of everything they've ever done. I mean, that's part of that sinful nature that we carry with us. But we should be working on it. We should attempt. We should try. We have to try as Christians to do that.
Yes.
That's the standard that's set for us. And we're told to forgive without limits. Mm-hmm. Without limits. We may want to say, "Well, that person offended me yesterday. I'm not going to forgive them if they do it again today." That's not what Jesus said, is it? What did he say in verse 4? "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day," in the same day, "and 7 times a day turn again to thee saying, 'I repent,' thou shalt forgive him." Not, Jesus didn't say, "I suggest you forgive him." Thou shalt forgive him. He does it 7 times in a day. But, you say that's a lot. Well, I got news for you. If he does it more than that, you're supposed to forgive him. in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him," that is to Jesus, "and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" What did Jesus say? Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's a whole lot of times, right? That's even more than the seven. Now that may seem to be a contradiction there, but it's not, I don't believe. It's where Jesus said seven, and then Peter said, "Okay, so I forgive him seven," and Jesus says, "Well, actually, not seven times, Peter, 70 times seven." See, where was Peter's heart at that, I wonder? "Okay, Lord, you said forgive him seven times." Well, actually, Peter, not seven times, 70 times seven. That's how forgiving. But remember in all of this how the Lord forgave you.
Yeah.
That's what you really need to remember. Jesus says that we are to forgive others with the same grace with which we are forgiven by God. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, that's very humbling to me. When I think about all the ways I've sinned, all the times I've sinned against my Lord, yet He still forgives me every time when I go to Him in repentance. Are we better than Him? Are we better than Jesus? Should we not forgive others when they trespass against us? You know, we often respond to forgiving our offenders with this attitude. Forgive? Well, wait a minute. You don't understand what he or she did to me.
Right.
You know, you're not the offended party. You don't understand how this person has hurt me, what they have done to me. You don't get it. They didn't do it to you. That's many times how we react. And what happens from that? Bitterness. Bitterness grows. The bitterness that grows from the seeds of unforgiveness produces a deadly poison. A sin, like a canker within us, you know, and it grows and it stays there, and it grows. It grows. You might not think it. It grows. It's still there. It grows. And it prevents Christian forgiveness, true forgiveness. In Hebrews, chapter 12, in verse 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled." Bitterness defiles you. Bitterness is a sin. And bitterness defiles you when you allow it to spring up and grow in your life. And some people carry that. I've seen it. Some people carry that bitterness around like a pet.
Yep.
They do. This is, you know, this is my little pet right here. That person offended me 20 years ago. No. I'm not giving this up. I've carried this with me 20 years. This is my little pet right here. I'm not giving it up. I remember what they did. Does Jesus remember what you did? What does it say will happen to our sins? As far as the east is from the west. Again, I say, are we any better than God? I know it's not easy. That's where it takes grace. That's where it takes grace. Again, I say, there's no limit to forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you."
Yes.
See, God didn't forgive you for your sake. That's where the humbleness should really come in. God forgave you for His Son's sake. That's where I think, you know, Arminianism, of course, is wrong, but I hear people brag sometimes. "Oh, I came to the Lord at such a... I came to the Lord. I repented. I sought the Lord. You should be like me and come to the Lord." No, you didn't come to the Lord. The Lord came to you. Mm-hmm. He forgave you. Why? Not for your sake. Not because he looked and saw any good in you. We know this as sovereign grace believers. But because of his own choice. There was no good in you. There was no reason for God to forgive you. God would have been just to have destroyed Adam and Eve in the garden. None of us never existed. Because they sinned against him. But he didn't do that. They found forgiveness. They found it through Christ. Through the coming of Christ. Christ had not yet come, but through the coming of Christ. Amen. I know, I think it was Brother David was doing a message last week or so and talking about Abraham, how God preached the gospel to Abraham. It was found forgiveness through Christ, through the gospel. But we're told there, be kind-hearted as God is towards us for Christ's sake. I know this can be difficult, but my third point is forgive because you want to be obedient to God, not because you feel like forgiving. Now, like I said, I know forgiveness can be hard sometimes, but if we want to be obedient to God, we have to forgive. We don't feel like forgiving, especially when it first happens. And like I said, sometimes we may have to work on it a little bit. God may have to work on us a little bit. But we should be open to that, as I said. Be careful that you don't let that bitterness spring up and you don't carry it around for 20 years like your pet. Be careful of that. What happened when Jesus told them this? Notice in verse 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I think they were saying there that they could not do that. That God would have to empower them. They said, increase our faith. Christ says here, the real issue is not faith, but obedience and discipline. That's what he tells them afterwards. It's not faith. They should have faith, he says. But then he goes into this parable about the servant. And it's about obedience and discipline. And Colossians, chapter 3. Verse 13, again, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Christ has forgiven you. The theme over and over again is Christ has forgiven you of your sins. Think about your sins. Christ has forgiven you of those. Can you not forgive a brother or sister of their sins? Can you not have that same attitude? As I said, Jesus then tells a parable about a servant who returns. He's weary from the day's work. But yet he proceeds to prepare and serve the master's meal. Jesus said, which of you would say to him, oh, you eat first and then I'll eat? No, you're the servant. It's your job. You've been working all day, you're tired, but guess what? You have more work to do. Prepare my meal that I may eat. Then, servant, you can eat after I've been fed. Now, I'm sure the servant didn't feel like doing this chore because it said he had been working all day. He says, but which of you, in verse 7, having a servant plowing, you ever plowed a field? They didn't have tractor. He's not talking about with a tractor. I've never done it. I've seen it done. I heard people talk about it. He's talking about with a mule or an oxen or whatever they had, you know, or feeding cattle. Will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to me. No, that's not what he told him. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Servant, you've been working all day, but you're not done. Now, you need to serve me. He did it not because he felt like it, but because it was his duty as a servant. And my point in this is, it is our job, it is our duty to forgive others. We don't forgive because we feel like it. We forgive because we want to be obedient to Christ who has told us to forgive others. Because if we only forgave when we felt like it, we might not ever forgive. But that's not what he says. It's our duty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it." That struck me there as relating to this, because we're reviled as Christians, but yet we still bless others. We're told to bless others, right? Being persecuted, now, I would say you and I don't know much about persecution, I believe. Not true persecution. Some, but not like these people especially went through. He says, we suffer it. We suffer it. Why? Because it's our duty. Because we're following our Lord, and we know greater things are coming. We know this world and what it has to offer is not the end. Is not the end of things. There's greater to come, and so we do it. We do that. We also forgive out of obedience to God. Our forgiveness is not because the offender deserves forgiveness. The offender may not deserve forgiveness, but yet we're still to forgive. Did you and I, as I just said, did we deserve forgiveness of our sins? But yet, hasn't God, through Christ, forgiven us? We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve it. That's the word there. We don't deserve it, but yet we still have received it. Nothing in this passage relates to the other person's worthiness to be forgiven. It doesn't say that. Jesus didn't say, if they're worthy, forgive them this many times. That's not what he said. He said, if they repent to you 7 times in a day, and not only 7 times, 70 times 7, you forgive them. And I believe that helps us too. All this forgiveness, as I said, helps us. Keeps that bitterness from growing in our hearts. That master who told his servant, his probably overworked servant, you know, that servant didn't deserve to be abused. That servant had worked hard all day. But yet that master, in my opinion, when we read that, we say, wow, that guy was hard. You know, his servant's worked all day plowing the field. Now he comes in and the master tells him, well, you get ready and fix my meal and serve me and let me eat and drink and then you can eat. Even though you've been working all day. The master didn't deserve that. But the servant did it anyway. Why? Because he was obedient. That's what he was supposed to do. So then goes the Christian life. Forgiving those who offend us as a witness to the grace by which we have been forgiven. You know, the world would look and say, why did you forgive that person of that? Why, how can you have that kind of attitude towards them? Because I've been forgiven much greater. Because I have that grace in me that the world doesn't have. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35 through 37, what did Jesus say? But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. you forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You know, is not the definition, part of the definition of grace, undeserved or unmerited favor? We didn't deserve the grace of God, but yet we still received it. That master did not deserve for the servant to do that, but yet the servant still did because that was his job. He was obedient. The person that offended you may not deserve that forgiveness. They may be unrepentant if you try to talk to them. They may say, I don't care, I offended you. They may deny it. They may say, oh, I didn't do that. Or, you know, you're crazy. You took it the wrong way. They may be undeserving. They may be malicious about it. They may be, yeah, I did it, I'll do it again. But guess what? You're still told to give forgiveness. Now, as I say, it's not just for them, it's for you. And as a witness to the world of the grace that you have received. We're also to forgive without being proud. In verse 10, Jesus says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When we forgive, you know, there's a kind of pride that can develop when we forgive someone. It's an attitude that kind of says, you know, I've forgiven you, you rotten, wicked person, because I'm much more righteous and spiritual than you. You know, you're down here, and I'm up here, so therefore I'm going to forgive you, because I'm more spiritual than you. You don't deserve it, but because I'm so spiritual. Is that the right attitude to have? No. No, it's not. I've seen it. You probably have too. That kind of self-righteousness is what the Pharisees had. And we're not to be Pharisaical. You know, that so-called proud piety can make you very un-Christian. And as hatefulness as the bitterness I've been talking about. You know, if you walk around with that, yeah, I forgave Sister So-and-so. You know, back then, 10 years ago, she did such and such, but, you know, I forgave her. Well, if you're still talking about 10 years later, have you really forgiven her? Is my question. Have you really forgiven her? And if you're wearing that like a badge, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts. You could do things to earn merit badges. You know, you did different things. If you're wearing that forgiveness of that person like a merit badge, see here, look here, Brother David. I forgave Sister So-and-so back then. That's not the right spirit of forgiveness. You know, that's not how we're to forgive. And that, as I said, can be just as bad as the bitterness. We are to forgive in a spirit of humble obedience to God, of whom we have been forgiven. I've read these scriptures to you where we're commanded to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. So when we forgive, we're being obedient to God. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some good reasons, spiritual reasons, for not harboring this bitterness in your heart. Three last points I have here. We're to forgive others for Jesus' sake. It's His will for us to forgive others as an act of devotion to Him. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Says, Jesus speaking says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Listen to this next verse. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Be careful. Be careful in what you carry around in your heart. We're to forgive as an act of devotion to Him. Jesus said, if you're standing there praying, and it comes up in your mind, you know, I remember I did so-and-so, so-and-so did something to me. Forgive them. Ask the Lord to take it from them. Lord, what did the disciples say? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help me to forgive this person. Take this from me. Don't let this grow into bitterness in my heart. We also need to forgive others for our own sake, as I've been saying. Even selfish motives can move us to want to get rid of that bitterness. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a bitter Christian. You know, I don't want to carry bitterness around in my heart like that. I don't want it to destroy my witness. It will. It can. It can destroy your witness. People see you acting like that. That person doesn't act like a Christian. Look at them. They're always talking about that thing that happened, or you know, something happened. Carried on. People notice you. They notice your behavior, and they notice what you say, especially when you tell them you're a Christian. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Bless them which persecute you." As I said, I know these things can be difficult. That's where we have to seek grace, and we have to ask the Lord to help us. He goes on in verse 17, says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. What other religion tells you to do that? You know, that's what sets Christianity apart. Of course, we know that the truth comes from God, but you know, many religions don't have this in here. If thine enemy hunger, thine enemy, not the stranger, thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See, you forgive others for your sake as well. Don't be overcome with evil. Don't let that person's actions destroy your testimony, destroy your walk with the Lord. No, of course, I'm not talking about lose your salvation, but you know how things can get between you and God. Right. Don't let that do that. Forgive them. I remember years ago, something struck me. I was reading a true story of a person. He said that he was playing ball. And if you've ever had a child playing any kind of ball or anything, you know, sometimes things can get heated between the parents and the referees. And, I'm looking at you. They can get heated. shouldn't, but they do. And he said his dad, you know, kind of questioned, was a Christian, questioned the referee on some stuff. Well, the referee, you know, blew up at his dad, got mad about it. His dad was a coach. And I don't remember. I think maybe, you know, kicked him out of the game or whatever. The dad didn't do anything wrong, but the referee took his dad and got mad. We said later on, they had left the ball field, and they passed his car, broke down. Man had a flat tire, was trying to change it. Guess who it was? It was the referee. Now, I know some of us would have said, well, he deserved that. You know, kept going, right? You know, that's what you did. But is that the Christian spirit? No. Said his dad, he said, I'll never forget this. He said, my dad pulled the car over, got out, and basically changed the guy's tire for him. And he said, the ref was just speechless. You know, didn't know. He said, why did you help me? And he used the opportunity to witness to him, because God has forgiven me. You know, I'm a Christian. This is what I should do. Now, I don't know if the man ever got saved, the referee or not, but he used that as an opportunity to witness to that man. And as I said, what kind of heart does that show? What, I'm sure that affected that man. He was touched by it. You know, here's this guy who should hate me and should be rejoicing in what happened to me, and yet here he is helping me. That's the true Christian spirit. And also, forgive others for their sake. The Christian duty is to allow God's love to flow through us by extending forgiveness. If you want to, I think one of the biggest ways that we can show that we're saved, we can show the love of God, the grace of God to others, is through forgiveness. I really do believe that. Thinking about this and studying on this, you know, show that forgiveness to others. That truly shows grace. Because the world won't do it, but Christians are different. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I said, forgive others for their sake. I believe this relates to forgiveness right here. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Help that man. or woman. Help them. Don't beat them down with it. Help them. Offer forgiveness to him. And what does he say? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brother, sister, same thing might happen to you one day. It just might. But we are to offer forgiveness for their sake. We should help our brothers and sisters. The world is going to go after them. The devil is going to go after them. We're a family here. And family should not attack each other. Family should not beat each other down. Family should uplift and help each other. And family should offer forgiveness to each other. In Philemon, it's right after Titus, the little epistle of Philemon, where he was a slave. What did Paul tell the master in verse 10? I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul said, he's my son, I've begotten in my bonds. In other words, he was saved, I think, through Paul's ministry. What did he say in verse 18? If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on that account. I think about Jesus. He put my sins on his account.
Yes.
Can I do that for others? Think about all the sins. He hung on my cross for me. He shed his blood for me. Willingly gave his life for me. He could have come off that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have just spoke the word and destroyed those men who came for him in the garden. But he didn't do that. He willingly went. He forgave me of all of those sins. Can I not forgive others? In the model prayer, there's a phrase that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Mm-hmm. What if God answered that prayer? Think about this. What if God answered that prayer? You prayed that and God answered it. And forgave you precisely the same measure of forgiveness that you gave to others. Amen. What if he answered it that way? In closing, in Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. As I have read this before, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. As I said, what if you pray that prayer and Jesus answered it and only forgave you the way you've forgiven others? What did Jesus say on the cross? What are some of the last words he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He didn't rail against them. He could have. He didn't rail against them. He said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. If our Lord set that example, who are we to not follow it? If we are truly to be obedient to him, as I said, I know it's not easy. I know it's not at times. But if we're truly to be obedient to him, we should seek to forgive others the way he has forgiven us. May God bless you.